Yeah, after I got off the dog detail, I got roped into driving the buses for the evacuation. It was in full swing, and that was an interesting exercise, I suppose. We were down at the old bus depot on the corner of Bagot Road and Stewart Highway, where near where the Bagot Park Bagot Road flyover is now, and we were looking after the buses ourselves because the workshop was all blown to bits. We had to sort of maintain them as best we could, and quite often we'd start probably around about 4 o'clock, I suppose, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and wouldn't be unusual to get back to the depot there anywhere around 11, 12 o'clock at night, so it wasn't worth trying to go on. So quite often I used to just camp on the back seat of the bus. A couple other guys were doing the same thing because they lived further away. But there was a limit to the amount of luggage that you could take on the evacuation. It was only supposed to be a small suitcase or a small carry bag or something. I had a couple of blokes dressed up as women trying to get on, because in the earlier stage it was supposed to be only women and children that were going out, and it was a dead giveaway for them. They were seriously ugly, and they looked like they needed a shave, and both on their head and their legs. So I've seen some rough women, but by jinx, these ones looked, they were shocking. And the suitcases that they were trying to get into the bus at times, an enormous great suitcase that's about four times bigger than the child that it's supposed to belong to. So yes, a few stand-up arguments, but I prevailed. That then I got roped into being the official carrier for the police, and working with our local police, the territory police. That was good because they were all on the ball, and they knew their way around. I knew a fair few of them personally, and it was really good working with them. But then I got inflicted with some of the New South Wales and the interstate coppers. Queensland coppers weren't too bad. West Australian coppers were pretty good. Victorian, a bit ordinary. But New South Wales, they were the dregs of the whole lot. And I had a big blue with one of their groups, and they wanted to go somewhere the bus wasn't allowed to go, like out of town, and out of Springs to go swimming. And in the end, I just took the keys out of the bus and walked off, left it there. And came back half an hour later when they got a cigarette and gone back to their room. But one time I was waiting for an aeroplane to come in because I had to go out and meet this plane to pick the people up. So the old sergeant, who was sort of my controller, told me to go outside and find a cool spot, shady spot, and have a camp, because he knew the hours that I was working. So I did, and I got rudely awakened by a very high ranking official, all the brass and everything hanging off him, and being kicked in the ribs, and being accused of being a layabout and all sorts of useless things that my mother wouldn't have called me, and to which of course I sort of surfaced and told him where to go and what to do when he got there. And he's jumping up and down and telling his offsider to arrest this man, to which I replied, well, you can go and get stuffed because you haven't got any jurisdiction here, you're not a territory copper, so take a hike. This was sort of escalating, and I was fascinated actually, because this man had a big vein that went from just above his eyebrow back up into his hairline, and it was sort of standing up and going purple and pulsating, and I was waiting for it to explode. And anyways, Bill McLaren, our commissioner at the time, he came along, and apparently there was a meeting or something going to happen inside, and he wanted to know what was going on, so this bloke said his piece, and Bill looked at me, he says, you're a Casey, aren't you? I says, I am. He says, which one? I says, I'm Snowy's boy. He said, oh yeah, how's he going? He wanted to know how we went in the cyclone, and how the old man was, and how Mum was, and you know, a bit of a family reunion almost. And this bloke jumped with the other bloke, the New South Wales guy's jumping up and down, and anyhow, Bill just quietly informed him that you know, we're all working here to get things sorted, and you know, if he's got enough, meaning myself, got an opportunity to have a bit of a rest in between jobs, well, go for it. That didn't satisfy him very much, but Bill was the senior man on the job, so he ruled. But the whole evacuation, I think, really was a bit of a knee-jerk sort of reaction. It was a panic session almost, because the planes were being overloaded. My Pam's father was an air traffic controller, and he told me that one of the pilots that he knew had told him of using more of Darwin airstrip than he'd ever used in his life in a 727. And when he came into to Sydney, he was asked what his landing weight was, and he had to say, I don't know. And when he was asked to estimate it, he suggested about 150%. And he said he used all of Sydney airstrip, the Botany Bay airstrip, and he ended up on the taxiway at the other end, having destroyed a set of tyres and a set of brakes. So it was crazy the way it was all being done. And I was also told that there was a near miss over Bagot Road, because there was no actual air traffic control coming from the ground. The planes were all sort of trying to bring themselves in without running into each other. And there was a near miss in cloud between a Galaxy Starlifter that was taking off full of people and a Herc that was coming in loaded up with gear and a few people coming in. So that could have been quite horrific. The story I was told was that the Herc felt the bump of the air pressure from the Starlifter going over the top of it, so they must have been frighteningly close. But anyways, by the grace of God, nothing happened.